You have your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn with me to the book of Ruth, the Old Testament book of Ruth, chapter number 3. Friday night, preaching in revival meeting, I had been directed of the Lord to get a chair, and I put the chair out, which represented Christ coming and being in that service. And we wanted to mark that with that purple robe. And we preached that night about Pilate and his decision to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and to have him scourged and to have him crucified. And we've gone through that message. And we started letting all of history testify through the Word of God about the angels. Had another chair over here testifying, what do you say about Jesus? What will you do with this one called Christ? We had the angels, the demons, all scriptural beginning to testify about who Jesus is. And the Holy Ghost fell when we were in the first point. Folks were already laying in the altar, worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And at the end of the service, there was a young girl that she had gotten saved. But somehow in the process, when we gave the invitation that night, folks began to move, led of God. I mean, the altar was full. They were down the aisleway. The stage, the stage was completely filled with people. I was trying to find a place myself to get down and pray. And that's when this happened. Somehow as I got close to that chair, that robe there, somehow got up underneath it. Can't exactly tell you how that happened, but the Lord spoke to my heart about finding your place at His feet. And the Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You may bow now, and then again, you may choose to reject Him now. But there's coming a day when you will bow your knee. When you bow your knee in that day, it may be too late for you to enter into the gates of heaven. And if you're already here and you are saved, say amen. Amen. And I want to say that I'm thankful to be going to heaven. But the golden streets doesn't really matter to me. That's a blessing. But I want to know about the glorious Savior. And I thought about Ruth. This is what came to me as I laid there. As I started to get up, I thought about Ruth. Now, she was a Moabite. She was an outcast. She was a stranger. She had no belonging there in Israel whatsoever. And the Bible says that Moab is a wash pot. She was from the garbage can side of life. But she chose to serve the Lord. And when she got there, her hap was to land in Boaz's field. And we know that Boaz was a near kinsman to her, a kinsman redeemer. And we know that she labored in his field, and she had the right according to the law, because she was poor and because she was a widow, to glean barley in the very edges and the corners of the field according to the law. But Boaz said to the reapers that were working the field, said, let fall some handfuls of purpose, some handfuls of plenty, let them fall for her. In other words, if it falls to the ground, you just keep on going and you let her find that. God has given us handfuls of purpose. And again, God's been good to us. I want to look at Ruth now in chapter number 3. The Bible says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. I want us to see, first of all, the possibilities that she reckoned. Now, if you're going to be able to get at the feet of the kinsman redeemer, he's going to have to be present. And when he was present, that caused some possibilities, some hope to come to her mind. First of all, if he marries her, she's no longer a widow. She's no longer poor. She's no longer poverty-stricken. She's going to have a new home. Thank God when I met Jesus, I got a new home. Not only a new hope, but she got this new home, but she got this new hope.
She was accustomed to sorrow and brokenness and grief, but she figured that she could get at his feet and all those things would pass away. You know what it means to winnow barley at a threshing floor? You know what that means? Some of you young people may not have any idea. In fact, some of the elder people may not have any idea. To winnow barley means that you reap the barley harvest, and you would take that barley and you would put it in what we call a shock. And you've seen those shocks at the fall, and they'll stand them up. Then you take those shocks and you go to the top of the hill. There'll be a little building up there that they would build at the top of the hill. It would have a hard ground. Maybe it was clay, or maybe it was some type of like a bedrock substance on the ground there. And those shocks would be thrown down untied and let loose. And actually oxen would pull a sled or a sledge through that barley. And they would trample it and trample it and trample it underfoot. And then you would take a tool, an instrument called a flail, and you would flip up that's already been stepped on and broken, and the wind would blow at the top of the hill, and it would blow the chaff away, and the good grain would fall on the ground. And then they would take that good grain, and they would harvest that into different piles there on top of that threshing floor. Hey, I might say that the temple of God was built where the threshing floor was that David bought. You realize that when Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him, he took him up where there was a threshing floor on the top of the hill. I want to say, do you realize that Calvary represents the threshing floor? Jesus was trampled under the will of God. He was trodden asunder by men, and there he was. He was completely broken. Amen. And what you do when you reap in that barley harvest, the grain remains behind. That which dies gives way to that which is alive. Hey, when Jesus died on the cross, he gave way to that which would give life. That's his shed blood, amen, that you and I might be saved. So that threshing floor represents Calvary. Hey, Naomi says to Ruth, the poverty-stricken, grief-stricken, sorrow-stricken widow, she says to Ruth, she says, I know that tonight Boaz is winnowing barley up at the threshing floor. Hallelujah. There's a possibility of getting close to possibility of getting at his feet. Now I want you to understand then, verse number 3, she says, wash thyself therefore. Thanks be unto God, you and I need to be washed in the blood. And anoint thee. You and I need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. We got that when we got saved. And put thy raiment upon thee. Hey, my garments was filthy rags. But when I got saved, he gave me the garments of salvation. Bless his holy name. And she says to her, she says, get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. You see, when that grain is winnowed and it's harvested now and all the chaff is blown away, at the end of that evening, they would have a feast, a great time of celebration. And they didn't just leave that grain laying there because now it's at nighttime. They would pile up that grain, and then the men folk would sleep round about that old tabernacle there, ever so many few feet apart. And their head would lay towards the grain and their feet out towards where the fields were. The women and the children would encamp all the way around, maybe in tents or in little dwelling places all the way around. And the men folk would sleep around there, lay around there on that threshing floor to make sure no thief came in and stole away the harvest. Hey, the devil is looking. He's lurking about trying to steal the harvest. But praise God, God's got some men on duty. Well, Naomi says, Ruth, up there at the threshing floor, there's Boaz. He's the kinsman redeemer. If you can get up there to his feet, if you just mark the place where he's at, I want to say thanks be unto God. If the threshing floor represents Calvary, God has marked the place. X marks the spot, amen. The cross marks the spot. He said, you mark the place. You read in the scripture, when Jesus went to a place called Gethsemane to take upon himself my sin and your sin, and to begin to pray under such a burden that his sweat became as great drops of blood. Hey, the Bible said that Judas knew the place where the Lord was praying. Hey, Gethsemane was known as the place. Calvary was known as the place. In Luke 23, the Bible says that at the place called Calvary, that place is marked. And I want to say thanks be unto God that just to the right of that place, there's another place called the Garden Tomb. And up from the grave, our Savior rose. The Scripture says, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. I say, thanks be unto God. You and I need to mark the place where our Lord and Savior once laid and where now He is arisen again. Amen. Look what she says in verse 5. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. She was resolved with much courage and humility. She somehow is going to find her way to get at the feet of her Redeemer and not disturb anybody else. There's the possibility. I skip one point. Second of all, the preparation. Thirdly, there's the presentation. Verse 6. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. You understand, when Boaz had eaten and drunk, that is descriptive of the celebration that they have at the end of the harvest. You know what Jesus said? He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know what Jesus said about that? He had a drink of that bitter cup. That's what his harvest was all about. You understand, the Bible says when he had eaten and when he had drunk, the Bible says his heart was merry. You realize when Jesus drank of that bitter cup and when he was doing the will of God, dying for us upon the threshing floor, you know the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I say hallelujah to God. Hey, when Boaz was asleep and resting, here came Ruth, and she uncovered his feet. Can you imagine? There lay Boaz. Let's take this chair out of the way. There lay Boaz on that threshing floor. No doubt his head was towards the corn, and there she came, and she just uncovered his feet. And the Bible says that she laid down there at his feet. Kind of like your dog does, lay down at your feet. There's nothing immodest going on here. There's nothing indecent going on here. According to the Jewish custom, she is claiming him to be her kinsman redeemer. According to the Jewish custom, she is submitting herself and surrendering herself to his will. You realize when Jesus found you and I, he knocked on our heart's door, did he not? He knocked. When you got saved, I'll ask you a question. When you got saved, didn't you come to him and say, will you save me? You made a proposal to him. As Ruth lays at the feet of her Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, she is making a proposal to him. Will you save me? Will you take me as your wife? Would you claim all that I've lost? Would you lay claim to it? Would you give me a new start? Would you give me a new home? Would you give me a new hope? That's her presentation. I want you to see in verse 8 the privilege she requested. And it came to pass at midnight. There's a midnight cry, y'all, that's going to be made one day. At midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Can you imagine? He's worked hard that evening. You know how it is when you're dead tired. Maybe he snored a little. He kind of rolled over, and when he rolled over, his feet hit something. I thought, Lord, what did I hit? And look down, there's a lady. He's kind of startled, and he says, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Can you imagine? He woke up and probably kicked at her and said, "Who art thou?" She said, "I'm Ruth, thine handmaid." She said, "Just spread your skirt over me." You know what that means? The word skirt in the Hebrew literally means wings. She said, "Just take me under your wings." Woo! That's beautiful, amen. Glory to God. I say Ruth has the story of the romance of redemption, amen. She says, "Just take me under your wings." According to Leviticus 25, according to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 25, she had the very right to do that very thing as a widow, as a near kinsman. Her husband was a near kinsman to Boaz. Basically, what she's done is she has come to him and humbled herself and asked that he would provide just what she needed. I want to say to you this morning, if you have need of something, you just get close to him and you just ask him. Find your place at his feet and you watch what he'll do. He'll take you under his arms. The privilege that she requested. Verse 10 and 11, I'm done. I want you to see the promise that she received. Verse 10, he said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed me more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." First of all, the promise she received. Do you understand that he did receive her? Can you imagine when she slipped in up there and quietly came in so as not to be noticed? And she slipped there, uncovered his feet and laid down there. Don't you know that fear probably came to her mind and said, "What if he doesn't receive me? What if he doesn't want me here? What if he rejects me? What if he refuses me? What if he says, 'You old foolish woman, get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you.'" But she said, "You know what? Even if I'm rejected, he's the only one that can. He's able. And I've just got to see if he's willing." And so what does he say in verse 11? He says to her, he says, "Fear not. Thanks be unto God, he received her." Not only did he receive her, but he reassures her. Look with me in verse 11. He says, "I will do to thee all that thou requirest." He said, "I'm going to take care of this. I will take you under my wing. You want me to marry you? I'll be glad to take you. I'll be glad to take you and put you under my wing. I'll be glad to represent for you." Look at the end of verse 4 again. Naomi said, "He will tell thee what thou shalt do." What's he got to do? He said, "I don't want you to do nothing. I'll take care of everything you need." You know what the law requires? The law requires a blood sacrifice for our sins to be forgiven. Our heavenly Boaz did everything for us that was necessary. He died in our place, amen, and took our beating and took our death and was buried, amen. But he arose again on the first day of the week. We need somebody with us. We need someone to comfort us. We need someone to love us. We need someone to reassure us. He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. He's been there with us every step of the way. He has done more than I could ever require, more than I could ever ask, more than I could ever think. He's done it all, and he reassures her. Last of all, notice he receive her and reassure, but he rejoices over her. He said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord," verse 10. I like that, don't you? And he says in verse 11, he said, "All the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. What about that? She had been married before, but he saw her as a virtuous woman. Hey, when Jesus saw us, amen, he didn't see us as what we were. He saw us for what we could be. Woo! He'd forgive us and wash all our sins away. Oh, thanks be unto God, I found my way to the feet of my heavenly Boaz, and he saved my sin-sick soul. Look what the Bible says in verse 10. He says, thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether rich or poor. Do you see that? He said, you know what? I don't know why you chose me. Ruth, you're a beautiful person. You could have chosen anybody. You could have chose some other rich man. You could have chose some other way, some other avenue. You could have followed after a young feller, maybe a lot more handsome than I. The Bible says about Jesus that there's no beauty about him that any should desire him. The Bible said that his visage was more marred than any other man. Boaz said, I don't know why you'd want to choose me. Well, I know why. Because he's able. I know why. Because he can. I know why. Because he loves with a perfect love. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me say this morning. You can choose many other ways if you want to, but there's only one way to heaven. And that's through our heavenly kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. You can go after this God and you can go after that God and you can go this way and you can go that way. But I'm going to tell you what, the only way home to heaven is through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is a privilege and a promise that is only received at his feet. It was his feet that was crucified along with his hands and the rest of his body. Glory to God, I want to say to you today, you're here and you have a need. And yes, you've been saved. You've been born again. But this morning, sometime the devil said, the Lord don't love you no more. He don't care about you no more. He's forgot about you. You've got a situation here that's not yet taken care of. Hey, do you hear what he said? He will do everything, all that thou requirest. He will do it all. He is going to take care of your need. I want to tell you what you need to do. Whether you're a preacher or a deacon, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, a choir member, whether you're an Awana teacher, or whether you're a student, a pupil of the Word of God, a church member sitting on a pew, a prayer warrior, or a lost man, woman, boy, or girl. You know what you need to do? You need to find your way to His feet. You need to slip out of here when there ain't nobody else looking. You ought to get down here and say, I'm going to get at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to seek some privileges. I'm going to seek some blessings. Yes, I know the handfuls of purpose. Can I get a witness? Yes, I know the handfuls of purpose. Oh, how he's blessed me with his grace. But more importantly, I don't want to just know the blessings. I just don't want to know the golden streets. I want to know the gracious Savior. I don't want to just know about the blessings. I want to get to know the blesser. Hallelujah. Boy, down there at his feet the other night, he come by where I was. Woo, I felt like there I was just laying right at his feet. And the Holy Ghost was all around that place. And just something about humbling yourself and getting at the feet of Jesus. You stand to your feet. I've tried to be quick as I could. I skipped a bunch. But tell somebody, I'm telling you, I wanted to dismiss the service. I looked over and said, boys, we're going home. God said, no, you're not. You stand here and preach. Some folk need to get in this old-fashioned altar and uncover his feet. Lord of God. You get at his feet, say, preacher, Dad, I got to get there. You just tell him, Lord, take me under your arms. When you take me under your arms, you're taking all my problems. You're taking all my requirements. You're taking all my debts. You're taking everything about me and accepting me as I am. Lord, I need you so desperately. I'll not make this on my own. There's no way. You need to get at his feet. I'm telling you, if you're here, maybe you're already in the altar and you've never been born again, boy, you ought to get right here and say, Lord, I don't really even believe I've ever been saved, but I want to ask you, while I'm here at your feet, would you cover me with your blood? Would you cover me with your grace? Would you forgive me of my sins and save my soul? Take me under your wings, Lord, and forgive me. He'd do that right now. Father, this morning, God, when we examine Ruth's life, we realize that she was poor. She was a widow. There was nothing good about her. Her past, she was from Moab. She was basically a stranger to the covenant of promise. She was stranger. She was a stranger and a foreigner to any amount of hope that she could ever have. But thanks be to God, she met a man, her Redeemer. She knew that He could love her with a perfect love. He could take her every want, her every need, and He could save her soul and change her life forever. And courageously, she slipped into that threshing floor and she found the place under His feet and began to seek His privilege. And look how He blessed her. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the fact that we can still get at the feet of the throne of God. The Bible says that we can have boldness to come before the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Touch us, Lord, I pray. Help us, God, to draw closer to you. God, our needs this morning are great. We cannot meet them. We have tried every earthly tabernacle. We have tried every earthly means. God, there's no earthly way you could solve our problem. So, Lord, we know that you and you alone have the answer. And we humble ourselves to sweet surrender, sweet submission. Help us, Lord, I pray. Give us the promises of God, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.